Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Friday afternoon, November 1st. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour. I'll meet the owner of a Chicago restaurant who's globally influenced in our next segment. But right now, joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. And I got to be honest, when I first got the news alert about the October employment report number, I had to look a couple of times just to make sure that was actually a five-digit figure and not 120,000. This is not what the way out of line with what analysts were expecting this month.
Yeah, I mean, we have three big negative hits to employment in October. We had hurricanes Helene and Milton, and then we had the Boeing strike, which probably hit employment by about 44,000. So there's a lot of uncertainty. We are expecting a weak number. We got a weak number. But I think that overall, the labor market is still in pretty good shape, and we should see a bounce back in November as the impacts of the hurricanes fade from the data and those workers are rehired.
Now, this jobs report, kind of has three different numbers that jump out at you. The first one is that 12,000 figure that we discussed just now. The other one is the unemployment rate, which held steady at 4.1%. So that really does kind of bolster the belief that this employment report is more noise than signal.
That's right. We also saw big drops in employment in the survey of households. That's different from that 12,000 in the employer survey. We saw a big drop in employment by that measure. But we also saw the labor force contract, the number of people working or looking for work. And all of that is likely storm-related. So I think we look through that data. And the job market, you know, is in decent shape in 2024. It's not as strong as it was last year, but it's still in pretty good shape. We saw good wage growth over the month, which is a positive. And I think we'll see a much better report in November, and we can get a better sense of how we stand as we head into 2025.
Now, let's talk about revisions. August and September, those employment figures were revised downward by a combined 112,000. So not only was this kind of a pessimistic report, the headline number for the month of October, but it also revised downward the previous 2 months.
Yeah, but the September number was still very good at 223,000. August was weaker, you know, it was below 100,000. But you look at the 3 months through September, the economy added about 150,000 jobs. That's consistent with underlying growth in the labor force. And so, again, I think the story is that job growth isn't as strong this year as it was last year, but is still pretty good and is roughly keeping up with new entrants into the job market, which is what we want to see.
And then just assessing the job market as a whole, Gus, I mean, there has been some talk about how we've gone from the great resignation to the great stay. You don't have any signs of mass layoffs inside the weekly unemployment claims report, but it seems to be a lot of indications of both by the federal government and quantified listings from job sites that maybe a lot of businesses are happy with the talent that they have.
That's right. We've seen layoffs are extremely low right now, but we have seen hiring slow, and that's why we've seen weaker job growth in 2024 relative to 2023. I think that's consistent with a normalization in the labor market post-pandemic. Businesses have roughly the workers that they need right now. Maybe they're hiring to replace, but aren't adding workers in large numbers. But again, it looks like we're employing those people who are coming into the workforce because they've graduated, because they've had a child and are returning to the job market, whatever. And as long as the labor market can keep up with new entrants, then I think we're in decent shape.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us today.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and in this segment, we're featuring a restaurant that's a perfect spot for people who will be heading into Lincoln Park for the popular Zoo Lights Festival this year. We welcome in Otto Aid, co-owner of Americano in Chicago. Otto, thank you for joining us today. And tell us a little bit about Americano. You're at the corner of Clark and Lincoln and Wells in the Lincoln Park neighborhood. You opened in June. And what have you learned about operating a restaurant in that location since you opened over the summer?
Well, thanks for having me on this morning. I appreciate it. Yeah, so we opened up in June of this year. And as you mentioned, right at the ground level of Hotel Lincoln, right where Clark, Wells, and Lincoln all come together. And listen, that space historically, it's been a number of different venues, the Kensington, Perennial, Bar Louie, if you're familiar with any of those. And so we jumped on board just because, you know, proximity to Lincoln Park, it's really an important space in the city where three neighborhoods meet. You've got Old Town, Gold Coast, and Lincoln Park. So we're excited to be taking over that space.
Now, Americano, is this your first foray into restaurant ownership? Talk a little bit about your history in the culinary space.
And so I come from the bar world, the nightclub world, the lounge world, and my partner and I, Adolfo Garcia, similar, right? And so this is kind of our first testing of the waters in the restaurant space. And it's a challenging one for sure, but one that we think we have a hold of at this point, considering that we're 5 months in, we've got some great winter programming setting up.
And then one of the pieces of advice that other restaurant and bar owners who we've had on the Entrepreneur Friday segment, you know, they say the secret to success is get the right people to run it. And who is running your restaurant program? Who's running your bar program to make sure that you're positioned for success in the holiday season?
For sure. And so, listen, we're not part of a big, you know, hospitality group. It's myself and Adolfo, and we've got a wonderful team under us. We've got Chef Jose Mello, who's incredible. Eamon Brennan is our GM. Julio runs, he's director of operations. So we really have this family unit where we all pitch in and all lend a hand. And so we spent this past, you know, few weeks doing all the programming for the winter, which I'd love to talk about if I got a couple minutes.
Well, let's talk about that programming for the winter, because Halloween is over. So now we're in full-blown Christmas mode, Otto. And what do you do? How can you set up a bar and restaurant program that would appeal to all of those families who are walking out of Zoo Lights and may be in need of something to brace them and warm them up?
Very good question. And so this is the time of season that restaurants begin to stress out, right? Because when the winter hits, people stay indoors. And so you have to kind of do something that's going to set yourself apart. And so this Sunday, as soon as we're done with service, we're going to have a whole crew in there decking out Americano. It's going to look like Santa had a wonderful time in there. It's going to be beautiful, glamorous, holiday ambiance in there. And then on top of that, we're going to have a happy hour every day from 4 to 6:30 p.m., dollar oysters, $10 bottomless wings, half-off charcuterie boards, all wines are $8 by the glass, all martinis, including espresso, are $8, and all drafts are $6, too. And not to mention for the kids, we will have kiddie cocktails and hot cocoa for those obviously visiting the Zoo Lights. And so that's every day.
I was going to say, Otto, I have three daughters at home, and they have become huge Kitty Cocktail fans or Shirley Temple fans. And in your research and your experience in the restaurant business, you know, what is the proper cherry syrup to 7-Up or Sprite ratio that keeps the kids coming back for more? Because sometimes it's just like you just pour a whole bottle of syrup into the glass and then give you a splash of 7-Up and here you go, kid, enjoy.
Well, my answer is going to be different than most, because I'll go light on the Sprite but heavy on the cherry. And so we'd have to defer to James Harbaugh, our bar manager, to answer that one correctly. But I've always been a cherry guy for sure.
And then lastly, you have a restaurant in Lincoln Park, and that's like competing against an all-star team because you have a lot of big names, a lot of heavy hitters have planted their flag in that neighborhood. And we talked about what you have and how you're trying to be distinctive, but that really is, you know, you're going up against some heavy hitters in that space.
We certainly are, right? But Americano is truly kind of a homage to culinary classics from across the globe. We're not a white tablecloth, super stuffy. We're not trying to have the best steak in Chicago. We're just an upscale neighborhood eatery, super welcoming, fun, high tops at the bar, TVs everywhere, but also in a beautiful room that's, as they say, Instagram worthy. The moment you walk in, you want to take out your phone and start taking photos and posting it, you know, on your Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or what have you, just because it's that beautiful. Adolfo did an incredible job designing the room.
Otto Ade, co-owner of Americano in Chicago, the Lincoln Park neighborhood, thank you for joining us today on Entrepreneur Friday. Coming up next, the best time to organize important personal and financial documents is now. We'll talk about that next.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
If you put off organizing documents, passwords, and other important information, it could come back to bite you during a crisis or a stressful situation. We're joined by Bill Uliveri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. The website is senecalcapital.com. Bill, thank you for joining us today. This is something that people mean to do and then put it off, and then they find out they didn't do it when a very inopportune time. So when you want to organize documents, passwords, and other important information, how should you go about beginning that organizational process?
Well, Rob, I tell you, this is probably one of the hardest things to do personally and to incorporate my family members. And it's also difficult on the client registered investment advisory side, because every investment advisor has to have a disaster recovery plan. So it really helps if people think about this as a disaster recovery plan, because you have to organize passwords, usernames, your bank accounts, emails. And some people will have 80 passwords, and other people will have one, using it over and over and over again, which is very insecure. So I just suggest beginning with something simple like Microsoft Word or Microsoft Excel, but make sure you password protect that, because some of the other platforms and programs, they're a little bit more difficult to use. You have to have an intermediate level in some ways of technology expertise. But again, most of this is emotional and disciplined approach to just taking it one at a time. Begin again if you forget, but have some centralized location where you can begin updating your username and password and the website link.
Now, we talk about this in terms of somebody dying, and they take their knowledge of passwords and where all the important documents are to their grave, leaving their survivors to not only work out their grief, but also figure everything out, financial arrangements and things like that. But there are other disasters that would require having all this stuff in one place for the living as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm guilty of lovingly telling my wife that she'll be sleeping on Lower Wacker Drive unless she helps me organize all these username and passwords. But I'll be honest with you, Rob, look at the recent floods that we saw in Nashville and in the southeast part of our country. We have fires in California frequently. We have power outages and threatening weather in the Midwest with tornadoes and all sorts of things. So it's always a really good idea to just, again, begin, start. You can either keep this information password protected on a local hard drive in a safety deposit box or in a locked file cabinet. But again, you have to personalize it and find the perfect balance between security and accessibility. And that, I think, is the hard part, is finding the right way to store all this very critical information so that your beneficiaries, your family members can begin recovering these assets, because it's harder than you can imagine, especially in the age of high technology where your Apple phone may have a bio thumbprint or facial recognition. Like, you can't get into somebody's phone unless they help you with it. Where in the old days, you can kind of hack your way into this stuff, but it's not that way any longer.
Bill Uliveri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Find him online, senecalcapital.com. Thank you for joining us today.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Mayor Johnson says money from a proposed property tax hike would help keep Chicago safe. Former President Trump is suing one of the major broadcast networks. In Entrepreneur Friday, building a career as a social media influencer from a base in Chicago. The Federal Reserve has lowered interest rates, but it's not reaching the mortgage market. WBBM Business, the markets are higher, the Dow is up 439 points, NASDAQ up 219, the S&P 500 is up 48. We have 47 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies. It's 1231. Topping our news at the half hour, Mayor Johnson says that despite a tight budget, the city is continuing to upgrade public safety. He points to a program that has medical and mental health professionals answer certain emergency calls instead of police. The mayor is the guest in our At Issue program with political editor Craig Delamore this weekend here at Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Former President Trump is suing CBS for at least $10 billion in damages.
The lawsuit filed in Texas targets an early October 60 minutes interview of former President Trump's Democratic rival, Vice President Harris. Trump says the interview was doctored and misleading. A CBS News spokesperson says Trump's repeated claims against 60 Minutes are false. The interview was not doctored, and 60 Minutes did not hide any part of the vice president's answer to the question at issue. CBS says the lawsuit is completely without merit. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond. Chuck, thank you for joining us once again today. And in the up is down, hello is goodbye world of how do the markets react to news, it's kind of interesting to see a major rally coming off of a rather disappointing employment report.
Well, it is, but that's kind of how the markets go, right? Here, you had the disappointing jobs report, but what that does do is give the Fed perhaps more cover to continue to cut rates. And I think that issue, whether the Fed was going to continue to cut rates, was something that had really kind of entered investors' minds here in recent weeks and created some uncertainty as to whether they would continue to do that, given the fact that the economy's been pretty solid. So what this report today does is probably emboldens the Fed to go ahead and cut rates next week.
Yeah, it seems like the Fed watchers had been vacillating between three possible outcomes. The first one and the most likely one, which had been telegraphed by multiple Fed governors, was that they were going to cut by a quarter point at each successive policy meeting. But then you had some new numbers that came out and said maybe they'll just keep rates where they are. And now with this employment report for the month of October, it sounds like expectations are shooting over to the possibility of another half point cut come next week.
Yeah, I guess the half point cut is on the table, but I don't think it's likely. I think that, you know, the Fed's going to look at this report like everyone's looking at the report and see that there is some, you know, squirrely elements to it. I mean, it was impacted certainly by weather, the hurricanes. It was impacted by the Boeing strike. So there are some idiosyncratic things here that did cause job growth to only be 12,000, and the Fed's aware of that. So I'm not sure they're going to put tremendous weight in terms of a half point cut based on this report, but I think that they're definitely going to be doing a quarter point.
And then the NASDAQ finally got some good news after the closing bell yesterday. Very good earnings reports from Meta, the parent company of Facebook, and Intel. And what were some of the highlights?
Well, I think it shows that there is money to be made in AI. I think Intel's was basically a relief rally that things weren't as bad as people thought in the case of Meta, and especially Amazon. That was the one that came into the market after the close yesterday that had all things good about it in terms of, you know, their AI business is growing at triple-digit rates. Their AWS cloud business is growing at a rapid rate, their retail business. And the other thing people don't often think about, but, you know, Amazon's advertising revenues on an annual run rate now are about $56 billion, and that's high-margin business. So they're hitting on all cylinders, and I think, you know, that was the report that really has provided a bit of a lift here to technology stocks in general today.
And then I think at this point in time, you don't really have to know about the Dow theory to say it is certainly flashing a bull market signal. But is there anything inside the numbers that might suggest there's trouble ahead? What's the Dow Jones Transportation Index telling us these days?
Yeah, actually, that's been performing fairly well. It recently went to about a 14 to 15 month high. We would love for that to go above the 16,695 level, which was the high back in 2023. We're less than 2% away from that now. So from the standpoint of the behavior of the Dow Jones transports, which, you know, again, those are a very important barometer for future economic activity. So they matter. And the fact that they've been holding up pretty well and are close to going to significant new highs here, I think, is a positive for the overall market.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter in Hammond, Indiana. Find him online at horizoninvestment.com. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicagoan sharing the best in food, fashion, travel, and art. We'll meet her next.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and in this segment, we're taking a look into the life of a social media influencer and what it takes to become one. We welcome and Paige Serena, social media influencer. Find her on TikTok, Plates with P, based in Chicago. Paige, thank you for joining us today. And when you first set up that TikTok account for the very first time, did you ever think you would be an influencer? Was that your goal, or did you just start doing it yourself?
Hi, thanks for having me. Yeah, when I first got on TikTok and posted my first video, I did not expect anyone to really look at it. I had a privated TikTok account that I just unprivated to post a video. That video was like a don't go here, go there instead type of video, showcasing restaurants that I thought were underserved, and people loved it. So I thought I was just going to give out food recommendations to people, and it kind of turned into something way more than that. So it's been really cool.
It's very interesting that we talk about TikTok, an influencer or a social media personality, as being very much a 21st century phenomenon. But what you are doing is just basically good old fashioned, what we used to call over the back fence kind of conversation, something you would talk about with your neighbors. Hey, you ever hear about this restaurant? You should go there. And the great thing about it, what makes it so relatable, Paige, is everybody has an idea.
Exactly. And it's to your point, I mean, about word of mouth. And you see some restaurants sometimes, and sometimes word of mouth these days in the 21st century isn't enough. And word of mouth really translates to online social interaction. Have you talked about this? Have you seen this? And those conversations are now happening online at a bigger scale. And because of that, you're seeing, you know, a much higher impact to businesses when they get talked about highly. You see people out the door the next day. And it's really cool to see how that impact kind of translates to the 21st century idea of, you know, marketing and spreading things by word of mouth.
And since you have been doing this, how has your creative eye changed for presentations for videos? Do you address the camera directly? Do you have different ideas in mind for camera angles or things to highlight? Talk about that evolution.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting. I think my camera evolution has remained pretty much the same. But what you'll find is TikTok, you know, our minds are wired in different ways now. Our attention spans are a lot shorter. So what you really want to focus on is an attention grabber, right? So within the first 2 to 3 seconds of your video, you want to pull them in. You want to have something that is, you know, attentive, can catch someone's eye like very easily, and that makes them want to listen to what you're going to say. Initially, when I was making my content, I feel that I was kind of taking a long time to kind of get into the content, giving long introductions. You don't need that anymore. You can start the video off right away by talking about what you're going to say, and then people usually find that to be more entertaining. So that's more of the pivot that I made.
And I'll, not only that, you know, you're using your account and your voice to highlight not only restaurants, but the art scene, experiences, and what you have coming up is talking about Chicago Black Restaurant Week. And how did this collaboration begin? Did you seek this out yourself, or is this part of a collaborative effort with the organizers?
Yeah, it's cool because some things you do seek out, but sometimes brands come to you. And that was something that, you know, that's how it happened. I think the way it did happen, though, is because I've been posting about the regular Chicago Restaurant Week for the past 2-3 years now. And those videos, you know, seem to be very popular. People love when they can get a special or get to go to a restaurant they may not usually go to. And with the Black Restaurant Week, it's just really special as well, because there's so many great Black-owned restaurants in the city that you might not get a chance to try otherwise. That was kind of how that partnership started. They reached out to me, and so I'm just excited to work with them.
And then, Paige, my last question, and this was something I wanted to ask you, by the way, we have a special panel discussion about TikTok coming up that you'll be able to see on our social media channels coming up in a couple of weeks, depending on when we wrap up the election, Paige. But I ask this of all the social media influencers, and that is, like, for those of us who are in radio or in broadcasting, there's always, like, one person we tried to emulate. Was there anybody you tried to emulate as an influencer before you found your own voice, or did you develop it yourself?
I want to say I think I filled the gap. And, you know, I think the interesting thing is a lot of the content you see around food, it's not so much someone as the face talking about it. You see the pictures of the food. You see the videos of the food. You don't necessarily see someone, you know, on your screen just kind of talking about food. And so that was what I wanted to do, especially on TikTok, right? You see different things on YouTube, on Instagram, but on TikTok, you didn't see that kind of content. And I was using like different green screens to paste the photos of the food and the videos in the background. And that was something I hadn't seen too much before. So I think there may be an overlap, but I think this was something that I kind of filled the gap in.
Paige Serena, social media influencer, find her on TikTok, Plates with P, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Federal Reserve cut interest rates in mid-September, but it's not helping people seeking mortgages. Let's try to figure out what's going on with the help of Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. And if you thought you could pick up an affordable mortgage and move after the Fed cut interest rates, you should probably be staring daggers at the bond market for what it's done over the past 2 months.
Yeah, that's so very true. I think there's a lot of frustration out there with people thinking, well, wait, they just cut the rates. How come rates are going up? What is going on here? And I think it's important that the people just kind of understand the difference that, you know, the Feds control the short-term rates, and really the long-term rates are what is affecting the mortgages. And those are influenced by inflation. They're influenced by what the investors think that the economy is going to do.
And if you're trying to do the math on a mortgage rate and you look at the federal funds rate and then you look at, let's say, the prime rate, how does the 10-year yield, how do you incorporate that into the math that goes into a mortgage rate?
Well, the 10-year, you know, when the 10-year yield goes up, right, the mortgage rates are going to do the same. So that is all going to be driven by, you know, people, the investors thinking how, you know, what is inflation going to look like? What's going to happen with the election? And these are all the factors that, you know, when the Feds lower the rate, yeah, certainly the hope is that the long-term rate is also going to come down. And in the past, it has. But in this instance, inflation is still up. The economy is still doing well. And therefore, they said, well, okay, guess what? Interest rates are going to go back up because the inflation is still strong.
It's been forever and a day, Drew, since the Fed cut interest rates in the absence of an economic crisis. So when the Fed cut interest rates, let's say, in the 90s, was there a similar kind of reaction in mortgage rates?
Yeah. So and I think like this is we're on track for one of the worst years of, you know, since 1995, I think they said. And, you know, this is really what we're kind of up against right now. And, you know, sitting here looking at where we're at as far as, you know, the home prices and the volume of homes that are being sold. I mean, these numbers are really, really down. And I think that we're going to see them down until next year, until after the election, until they figure out where things are going to kind of settle.
Now, are you going to get any relief? Let's say the Fed does cut interest rates at their policy meeting next week and they cut by either a quarter point or even a half point, which appears to be back on the table today off of that jobs report. Would that provide any relief for you, or do you still have to count on the 10-year yield to cooperate as well?
Yeah, we're going to see that when they if that's the decision they make. We're still going to have to wait and see what the 10-year yield does. I think that, here again, people are really just frozen right now to say, okay, election is next week. They're going to meet again in a couple weeks to talk about another cut. So I think everybody is stagnant and just holding off to see where are these things going to go and what's going to happen. But, yeah, it's going to really determine with the uncertainty of the 10-year yield on the Treasury. That's going to really make the difference here.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.